love you so much and thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, why is this place full? We know the weather's a little bad tonight, but what a privilege it is for us to come to the house of God in our country and worship you. Thank you for that privilege. Now, don't let this be a time that would be wasted. Dear Father, I know this, that you have set the order of the church. What you would have me to do as an individual, and you lead and raise to the position I'm in, then you're going to give people that's needed to help do those things that God leads to do through the pastor of the church. I believe that with all my heart. If there ever comes a time that someone gets to the place they cannot fulfill that which God has given to lead in the direction that one is following the scriptures, then there can't be nothing but hindrance. So I pray that you'd give us, dear Lord, illumination tonight, help us to grow in grace and knowledge and understand about the Christian life and what God is doing to all of us together as we get on in line to serve you here at this place until the Lord calls us home or somewhere else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1 with me. I want to use kind of a springing board verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. But then I want you to also understand, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are in the image of God. Now, when we were born, there are certain things that just happen automatically. Just and living from the time we're born to the time we die. But God has given us the ability to do more than just exist. Are you with me? And he's let us live in a country that will see to it that academically, when we get a certain age, we're forced by the government to learn. Now, it shouldn't be that way. We should be thankful that we live in a country who wants us to learn. Because learning helps us exercise the abilities we have to do things to get ahead in life. There's many people tonight on this earth that's living absolutely, and I say many, not everybody, but many, lives in absolute poverty because they didn't take advantage of what this country offered academically to learn more so they could do more. It's so easy to become lazy and complacent. We can have some hard times, and there's not any of us that won't have hard times. But without the academic, and I use that one word for broad span, without academics in life, learning, there's no way in this world we can ever accomplish what we have the potential to accomplish. And so tonight, I want to talk on three ingredients for the Christian walk. These three ingredients are very necessary. And we start off in James chapter 1. Verse 22, we know this by heart, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, it's interesting as James writes to his parishioners and to anyone else who's in the family of God, he says, but be ye doers, that's a direct command, and not hearers only. Would you not agree with me that a lot of folks in the so-called churches across this world hear a lot but do little? And would you not agree with that? Now, then it's amazing that James must have had the problem in his day. James said here, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if a person is hearing the word only and not putting it into practical in their life, he says that you deceive your own self. Look in chapter 2, verse 22. He also said, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. Verse 23, he said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We understand that. If you look into a mirror, and all of a sudden you see something on your face that's not supposed to be there, and you know you need to remove it, but if you walk away and neglect it, you forget it because you're not looking at it anymore until you look in another mirror. It has to be removed right then. And the older you get, the more you forget it. When you see it right then, it has to be removed. Now, he's telling us that when it comes to the things of God, too, he uses analysis of that for us to understand. When you look in the perfect liberty or perfect word of God and behold yourself and walk away from it without anything done, it's easy to get occupied. Hey, has anyone in here ever been doing something, and then suddenly you say, you know, I need to do this, and I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden the phone rang, and you get your mind sidetracked. And next thing you know, 2 days has gone by, and you say, man, I forgot I was going to do that. See, Satan is very powerful in sidetracking us about what God wants us to do. And so he said, when you look in the perfect law of liberty of God's word, and you know there's something, you hear what God says to do, and then you walk away from it, you're forgetting if you're not careful. And he says, this is something that should not be done. Verse 25, he says, you forget what manner of man you was, or he was. You forget what it is that you should be doing. So in verse 25, but notice, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Isn't it interesting? Not only do you read it and it reflect to you what you need to see, but there's a continued, there's a working process. Continue therein that which you are seeing. He being not forgetful here. I mean, God reminds us, and the word reminds us, and we be not a forgetful here. But what's this? Being a doer of, what's that word? W-O-R-K, not W-O-R-D. Now, he's talking about the word before this. But he says, when you look in God's word and you see what God says do, then the first thing we need to do, not be a forgetful hearer by being distracted and move us away from it, but he says, be a doer of the work, because that's the reason God gives us the word. We are here to hear the word so that we be a doers of the work. And he says, this man, what man? A man that hears the word and be a doing of the work that the word tells us to do. This man, he said, shall be blessed in his deed. The word blessed means he dwells with Christ fully satisfied. You hear what God says do, and then you do the best of your ability that God has given you to also maximize that ability. And he says you will be satisfied in that which God calls you to do, because God will satisfy your heart when you obey him. Now, to do that then, let's look at these three ingredients that I want you to look at for a few minutes tonight at Christian Wall. Let me ask you a question. Can a person be a believer in Jesus Christ and not be Christ-like in his attitude or his actions? Yes, he can. In fact, many times we are that way. There's not a one in here that somewhere in your Christian life, though you've trusted Christ as your Savior, to be Christ-like would be not Christ-like because the attitude or something we faced in this particular life, as far as our action and our attitudes are concerned. So the inner man, which is the new creation in Christ Jesus, the inner man must be progressively sanctified to be spiritual with good actions. Now, we are sanctified and set us apart. That's what the word means. When we trusted Christ as Savior, he literally placed us into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by being placed into the family of God, he set us apart from the world. But he didn't take us out of the world. And so now he's talking about when we, this new creation in Christ Jesus, there has now, since I've been set apart from the world, though I'm set in the world in Jesus Christ, since September 27, 1959, God now is setting forth that there is a progressive sanctify, that is, that new creation in Christ Jesus should have been helping me grow in grace and knowledge to the where I'm at today. So that progressive sanctification to be spiritual with good actions, those things that are products of, as far as the flesh is concerned. With all my failures, there ought to be a number of places, and with God's help, more actions that are favorable than failures. Now, when I understand that, then I realize if it's not that way, if our actions take precedent over the new creation, then carnality will become the norm of one's life. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he warned about this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1, 2, and 3, he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as a spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. God forbid, ladies and gentlemen, that he would have to come to you and I, after been saved a few years, and still have to talk to his babes. Walk on eggshells around because you're afraid you may offend someone, or do something in some way because you're afraid you may offend. God forbid that we get to the place where we get out of the playpen and be able to handle the material things of the Lord as we go through life. Now listen, if our action takes precedent over our new creation, before we grow any, then we're going to find ourselves walking carnal. And he said in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal? And ye walk as men, not as children of God. He said, for why one of you say, I'm a Paul, another I'm Apollos, and I'm a... Are you not carnal? And he goes on in verse 6. He said, I planted Paul water, and God giveth the increase. So when I think about these ingredients to become strong in the Lord after God set me apart in Jesus Christ, to become strong for our Lord in the inner man, the new creation in Christ Jesus, the believer must possess at least three ingredients. And I want to give you those three tonight. We have to possess, first of all, academics. You have to possess academics in the natural world. If not, you won't advance as much in this world in our day as you would have what if you had those academics. And God is saying we have to advance academically, spiritually. This is our textbook. And we have to advance that way. And then, of course, there's the actions. But you think about, you have the academics and then you'd have the attitudes. What is academics? Academics is those things that we know. Did you know, tonight if you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If not, you're not saved. How did you know that? Somewhere or another, someone came along and gave you knowledge that came from God and revealed to us who the Savior was, and we believed that and trusted Christ as Savior. Without that knowledge, you and I would have been like the world is today. We've not known who it is to save us and who the Savior is, looking for something other religiously because of the way we're made and not have the true Savior. So the academics is necessary. This is what we know. Now, attitudes also is important. This is what I am. And then actions is this is what we do based on our values. And so I want to look at, it should be, I should have, you know, I should have academics and then have attitudes and then action. But I want to spend more on the attitude tonight because we understand the first two, I think, pretty good. So I'm going to look at it as academics and actions and then look at attitudes, though attitudes should be after academics because academics should develop our attitudes about things in life. So first of all, let's look at academics. Academics, is this what we know? Now, Paul encouraged over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we know this also by heart, Paul encouraged Timothy to study the Word of God. He says, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you look with me, you know that by heart, but I bet you don't know this one. If you look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to read that verse to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look down in about a verse 15. Here, the Scripture says, as Peter is speaking, as God gives him information, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That is, when God sets you apart in Jesus Christ, there is a separation. There is a continuous sanctification being set apart in your heart, the Lord God. And be ready to give an answer, always. Except always could become that's ready. Be ready always to give an answer to every man, he says, that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, you can't get that without studying. That comes from academics. If you look at the word answer, that word answer, Peter stresses knowledge here based on proper apologetics. That word answer is apologia. We have a course in our college that you take called apologetics. Apologetic comes from the word apologia. Apologia simply means setting forth the defense and the proof of Christianity. In other words, you and I who are saved want to have a grown enough in academics and spiritually that we can set forth a defense and also a proof of Christianity. It doesn't mean that they may believe it, but you ought to be able to set forth that to this world when they ask the question of reason what you believe. And it'll be biblical. It'll not be arrogant. It'll not be boastfully. It'll be that I can give you, if you give me the time, enough reason to reason with your heart to make you see, if you want to see, what God showed me when someone reasoned with my heart, you see. And so, 1 Peter chapter 3, here we see, he said, and be able to give that answer, be able to give that defense for and proof for Christianity. If you look at verse 16, he goes, having a good conscience when you can do that. And then he said, verse 17, for it's better if the will of the God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So, well, I don't know, I don't want to do that because they just tire me. He says, much better that you suffer for the will of God being so than for evil. And that's what he's talking about. Why? When you're telling about Christ and giving reason for your faith, that's honoring God. And then he goes on and he says in verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. So I say to you again, in 1 John, if you look again in chapter 5, you find that this same thing is put forth down about verse 11. He said, this is the record that God gave of given us eternal life, and this is life of his Son. He's the record. This is the record. And this is where we get our academics from, our learning from about God. And he goes on, he said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's knowledge. Man, that's something the Holy Spirit would bear home with our heart. And he goes on, these things I've written unto you, these things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, and that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, so academics, ladies and gentlemen, is that what I know? This is what I know. And then secondly, let's look at the actions. Action is that, this is what we do based on our values. If my knowledge is right from God, then my values are going to be there. You're going to have values given to us from God, just but simply we know what his word says. We don't know it all. We won't never come to know it all, but we'll know enough to know what his word says about what our actions should be. You see, proper actions are crucial if believers hope to be accepted as Christians and proper reflect the character of God. It has to be. If one's academics, which is the knowledge of God, is not what it should be, then one will be tempted to perform to please man rather than God. And that's the danger, because when you please men, here the inner man is wrong when led by men. Because if you please men rather than God, you're being led by men. And see, God said there's a said way in this book, and I'm going to give it to you, son. But you got to always be sure that you don't do things to please men. You do things to please me, and that means some men are going to be at odds with you. I can't afford to let someone who God has led me do something stop what I'm doing. I have to move on from that. And that's what we see in here as he gives us this information. Everything will be geared to please men in the flesh if I don't have the knowledge that God wants me to have from his book. And because, you see, the inner man is wrong when he's led by men, because there is no real God to lead him if he's leading by men. There is a real God, but the real God is not leading him by being led by men. So academics is this is what I know. And actions is that which I do based on our values. But the attitude, on the other hand, is what I am. This book makes me, if I obey it, what I am and what I should be. But it doesn't come by just hearing it. I have to obey it. I have to obey it. So do you. You may become something to make believe, but you won't become who you can be if you obey what God has to say. Now, again, academics are the things that I know, actions are the things that I can do, and attitudes are the things that I am. Now, this ingredients makes the difference between being saved and trying to act Christ-like without salvation, and when salvation is mission. There's a lot of folks trying to act Christ-like, don't have salvation. And that's when you got such a mixed up world. It amazes me, the people that you meet who've been born again, have been in this book, how close we are on most doctrines. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? It amazes me. You talk to someone who comes from the background that's put this book that we do here, and you'd be surprised how close. We won't agree on everything. We don't even comb our hair the same way. You know, what I like. It's an interesting thing. I love pink. My wife don't care one thing about pink, but she wears pink once in a while just to please me. I like that. You say you didn't have to say, yes, I did. You need to know some things about us. What I'm saying, we're not alike, but those things that God gives us helps us understand if we're in the right corral or not, as far as life is concerned. You see, the Pharisees were experts in academics. They were experts in action, but they neglected the inner man. That affected their attitude. What they knew biblically and what they were doing, as near, though they changed a lot of things as far as the Levitical system is concerned, they ought to recognize Jesus when he came. But their attitude was wrong. Jesus Christ rebuked them for their corrupt attitude. Not what they knew or what they did. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 23, we see these words been said by the Lord. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weighty matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ye ought to have done, and not leave undone." Verse 28, he said, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and also iniquity." This was because of their decaying of the inner man. Attitude is important ingredients to maintain some things. Attitude demands honesty and humility. Jesus rebuked the disciples for this. Turn to Luke chapter 9 with me. I want to spend a little time right here and look at this, because attitude is something very important. One of the things I talk to college students all the time, they call. And I tell them, I say, look, if you're going to study now, you need to put at least, during the time you're studying, not 10 hours a week, a minimum 10 hours a week. If not, you'll get behind, you'll get discouraged. Anybody who gets behind anything gets discouraged. And therefore, you're going to have an attitude to make yourself study. If you do 10 hours a week, you will do better. You will accomplish beyond what's needed to be accomplished as far as the school is concerned. But Jesus rebuked the disciples for this. They had an inflated spirit. In chapter 9 of Luke, verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them aside and went privately unto a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Isn't it interesting? They come back from being sent out by twos, and they have an inflated spirit because they were telling them what everything. If you go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 through 20, you'll find they just come back and they are just completely elated what God has done. I mean, everything. I mean, Lord, even devils are subjected to us through thy name. Let us tell you what he's done. Exalting self is easy, but it's very dangerous. And Jesus said, look, fellas, look in verse 20. Notwithstanding, he said, in this rejoice not that the spirit. Now, he said in verse 19, I give you power over these things, tread serpents, scorpions, etc. But he said, notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirit are subject unto you, but rejoice rather, because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Don't rejoice because you spoke and someone, a demon came out of a person. Don't rejoice because you gave sight to the blind. Don't rejoice. I gave you these powers, but you rejoice because your name's written, and I can say, in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is in heaven. Amen. The attitude made the difference as God gives us the gifts that we use in this life. This is called again, exalting self, but it's danger. Luke 9, verse 12. Look again in verse 12. And here we see they were more concerned about obtaining personal comfort rather than serving others. This is called an uncompassionate spirit. In verse 12, it says, and when the day began to wear away, they came to the 12 and said to him, they're speaking to Jesus, send the multitude away that they may go into town and country around about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. Looking again in verse 32. Also we see, He shows an insensitive, they show an insensitive spirit too, because in verse 32 he said, but Peter said, Peter and they that were with him were heavy and with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And then since Peter, James, and John slept while on the Mount of Transfiguration, and in the garden when Jesus needed them the most, he slept. They slept. It showed that they had an insensitive spirit. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter woke up. And when he woke up, he started speaking foolish things, selfish words. Suddenly he said, let's build a temple here for Moses and for Elijah and for Jesus. And you can read what the Lord said to him from that. It was an insensitive spirit. But when God speaks, one must be silent and wait on him. And verse 40 showed that he had an impotent spirit. He said, I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Now they came back down from off the mount, and the disciples were powerless to move the demon that cast this child, cast the demon out that was, that was plaguing this child at this particular time. The inner man was weak in faith and prayer and self-control, and he could not do what Jesus was able to do for this man's son. In verse 46, all through this we see has to do with an attitude. Then there arose a reason among them which of them should be the greatest. Isn't that interesting? Here shows an immature spirit. So here we see at this time they had an inflated spirit. They ended up with an insensitive spirit. They had an impotent spirit. They had an immature spirit. No one can know God's best and boast in himself by belittling others. But this is what we see there, arguing who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. In John chapter 30, John the Baptist shows the best attitude any of us can have. And John said this in chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. The greater he is, the little I must be. I may be the voice was here, and sometimes some look at the voice as being overbearing. But the greater is he, the less I am. And then when that happens, he raises us to a position of authority. Because he's the one who's in charge. Luke 9, verse 49, look again. He says, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. We forbid him not, because he followed not with us. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Again, at this particular time, when this was a transition period, it soon would be, and proving who Christ is, his credential, who he was, being able to do these great miracles at this time. But this showed an intolerant spirit, a nature of pride, has trouble believing that God can and does use other people for things. In verse 55, he says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are. And it itches again. Here they were coming out now, and suddenly they were going to go back into, they had entered into the village of Samaria to make ready for him. And he said, and they did not receive him, because his face was though he'd go to Jerusalem. And Samaria wouldn't have anything to do with the Jews, and Jerusalem was the capital of the city. And it's an amazing thing. They became, it's just like Peter. I don't know why John would get this, but it said his disciples, James and John, saw this, and they said, Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven? We'll consume them all, because they won't believe you. And he turned and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Again, a nature of pride has trouble believing that God can and does not use other people, but he does. But ladies and gentlemen, I know sometimes I feel alone and sometimes we feel alone. But God has a remnant on this earth still. When we get to heaven, there's going to be more people going to heaven just from Clayton. Do you know that? Yes, sir. Every born again child, I don't care what it is, the darkest place in Africa, you're going to find that person will go to heaven when Christ comes back. So all Christians need to evaluate the conditions of our inner man. Here one will be honest with sins of the spirit and also sins of the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Here's what Paul said. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, he said us. He included himself. He included the Christians. If there's ever been a time that verse needs to be here, it's today. This is more important now, if it can be more important, than it was when he wrote it. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So academics and actions must be controlled by our attitudes for the unification of the body. of Jesus Christ. Academics, I need to know. Now, if God gives me more because I spend more time in knowledge and studying to get knowledge, then suddenly my attitude is going to conform to what hopefully the Word of God says, and my action is going to be that. And someone who would do less, not willing to look at everything that's been said and analyze it prayerfully before God to see if it's truth or not, and that's the way we want to be. We need to be like the Bereans. They search the things that Paul said to see if they were so or not in the book of Acts. And so here, in my academics, do I have the mind of Christ? Is my thinking aligned with God's Word? Or is it something I heard someone else sound good and I latched on to it, but I hadn't really confirmed it with the Word of God yet? Based on Isaiah 6, do I have a new concept of God? Do I have a new concept of myself? Do I have a new concept of sin? Do I have a new concept of cleansing, of a new commission? In my academics, do I have the mind of God? The Bible says we can have the mind of Christ. Where do we get that? From this book. In my attitudes, am I aligned with God's Word? If I have the mind of Christ, is it aligned? Can I prove it being the mind of Christ? Because it's written, it comes from the Word of God. And so in my attitudes, am I aligned with God's Word? Do I demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22, 23? None of us demonstrate it all the time, but is there enough to override to show that my lifestyle is certainly generated and empowered by God to produce these fruit of the Spirit? You know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, Paul said, there is no law. So in my academics, do I have the mind of Christ? In my attitudes, am I aligned with God's Word? In my actions, am I aligned with God's Word like I am with my attitude should be? Do I demonstrate that I'm studying God's Word in my academics? Does it sound like when I talk about the Lord that I've spent time with God in the book? If not, I can't give a reason to others why I believe what I believe. I can't quote Billy Graham all the time. I can't quote Jack Howells all the time. I have to be sure that what I see, and I just use those arbitrarily, I just have to be sure that I study along with God and are convinced, at least at that time, until God or someone shows me different. And it'll be that you looked at it in a broad sense. Do I demonstrate that I'm studying God's Word? I must keep in mind that when my attitudes and my academics are aligned with God's Word, my action will reflect the character of God. And that's what the church in Antioch did. The world said, there goes a Christian. You know why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, their attitude and their academics reflect the character of God. And you'll not know the character of God like you should without the study, but you can study people. Those people knew there's something about God's people that are different when they saw them. They won't like the rest of the world. So I say to you, my academics reveal what I know. My attitudes reveal who I am. And my actions reveal what I do based upon my biblical values. So there's some things I have to learn if I'm going to be where I'm at. And God is leading me to do what He's called me to do. Then I must be sure that these things are in line. And that means simply if God is using me where I need to be in His program, then anyone who would try to destroy that program, I must not let it happen. I can't let it happen. I can't. And by the way, you can't either if God has led you. You have to be sure. It isn't like working in the world. It's before God. I've got to give account to God. You still had to give account to the vice president or the president. And you sit down, that's different. Now, I'll tell you, I went in there a few times that were a little bit shaky. But I'll tell you this, my thought of standing before God is an awesome thought. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an awesome thought. It ought to be with you. It ain't going to be like the courts in this land. There's no defense there for us except what Jesus Christ defends us in God's throne. So again, as we look at this wonderful life that we have as a Christian, these ingredients helps us in the Christian walk. Your academics reveal what you know. And you can be sure your attitudes reveal who you are. And your actions reveal what you do based on your biblical values in this life. Can you not see why the world has got completely opposite of what we're talking about here? Their academics is only what they can do to live in this life and get ahead and beat everybody else they can. When it comes to their attitude, that reveals who they are. Remember somebody said, you know, that fellow over there, he's aggressive. He knows a lot of things. Better watch him. You ever heard that? I have. I've been told that many times coming to Grassroots years ago. And then I also realized their action reveals what their base values are. And it's not biblical. Would you agree with that? This world's values are not biblical. How in the name of heaven could they have such mess come up in these last days? It's coming up where just a few years ago, people who weren't even saved had some values because there was a dominant of Christianity in the Bible Belt especially. No one came out of the closet many years ago. Why? They didn't have to fear anything at all. They just feared because of what people believed, which was biblical. And now you find it's not, you find, man, they was afraid of no one. But you know why? Because they don't even believe in the God we say we believe in. They don't believe they're going to have to stand before God one day. So when we leave tonight, let's say, God, help me with these Christian errors of walk. Help me with my academics spiritually in this book when I study it, Lord. That's the reason I say, when you get along with the Lord and study it, ask God in the quietness of the hour to reveal truth to you. Read the words and let them pop out at you as you read them. And then ask God to do reference. Because if you're reading certain sections of the Bible and don't know how to compare with other sections of the Bible, you'll be confused. It's easy to do that. You must understand who he's talking to, when he said it, what is he talking about. Does it mean Israel? Does it mean me? Is it something he's telling Israel that can help me in the age of grace for the child of God? Listen, I am not a Jew by physical birth. I've been placed in the family of God spiritually, just like a Jew's got to be placed in the spiritual family of God spiritually if I'm going to go to heaven. So we're different. As far as the genealogy is concerned, and an amazing thing now, Jew and Gentile has to do the same thing to get to heaven in the age of grace. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for these people turned aside the things of the world tonight and this weather to come here. I pray something's been said which in turn would encourage us. Dear Father, we go in that world, we have to be sure that we can give a reason to why we believe what we believe as Christians. Lord, there are a lot of voices out there. There are some people who take this Bible and they'll teach everything they can that they can get rich by. Lord, we want to look at what we can see to make us better Christians. Dear Father, there's so much we could do if we had finances, but we can't claim something that's not biblical to get the finances, because we'd build a kingdom here and nothing for the glory of God. Dear Father, help us find the principles of your word. We believe in the local Bible, believing God-fearing church. We believe God's people has down through the years. And even now that you give us this great number of people that meet with us, catch the vision, see what we're doing. God forbid that I ever allow anything in my life that would hinder someone from seeing you. Dear Father, help me, even now, with the problems I have physically, to be able to set the pace. Please help me, Lord. I believe what I've said tonight is true. I believe what I said this morning is true. I wouldn't get up here and waste these people's mind if I did not believe that. Now, I believe that because I academically have studied your word. I try to be in the right attitude, and I try my best to let that dominate in my actions in this life. And I think many in this building right here are doing the same thing. That means that when we walk in that world and they see us, that we're going to be enemies to them. But they make us their enemy. Lord, we love them because you love them. Give our people a great week this week. Encourage them and help them to understand who they are. And yet, at the same time, not be arrogant or high-minded, but be humbled and say like John, he must increase, but I must decrease. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.